This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, it's number 3,000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line, it may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this Tuesday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, brought to you by our good friends at the Innovated Companies. InnovatedCompanies.com. Check them out. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter what the job is. Randy Green's your man, folks. 35 years experience, second generation craftsman, of course, as we always say. The most important thing, he's a man of his word. If he tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Give him an opportunity for your business, InnovatedCompanies.com. Welcome to the show. Again, we come to you from our patio studios here in Edwardsville, Illinois, and I want to thank everybody that came out to our first Live from Patios show that we did on Saturday. A lot of fans came out and braved the cold temperatures. We gave away some great memorabilia thanks to our friends at m4byyachty.com and obviously Yadier Molina. And, of course, everybody's favorite on the m4byyachty.com hotline. Let's just bring him in now, the one, the only, Benji Molina. What's going on, buddy?
What's going on, guys? Ready to go.
Well, you left just in time. It's going to warm up a little bit here in town. Finally, we're going to get above 40 degrees, I think, for a game coming up here.
Dude, you guys in 2 days will be in heaven. 70s, man. 70s, man. That's 75, 76, 79. That's beautiful to go watch a game.
Now, that here, will be heaven. You're right.
In the 100, 99, 95. And then when I was there, it was 30s. So, hey, man, in a few days, you guys will be good.
You're going to have a cold before this is all over with. Your body doesn't know how to handle this, probably.
I know, yeah, probably. I hope not, though. I got to go out on my bike ride. I got to start doing that again.
Well, want to thank you for all you did. I know we had a lot of comments and feedback on the show at Patios. A lot of the fans that hear you on the show had an opportunity to come say hello. You provided some great autograph items from your brother and from yourself. I know the people that got your book were ecstatic about it. Again, thanks to the fans. We'll be doing that again. Don't forget, coming up April 20th, we will be back at Patios on Friday from 12 to 2. Come join us. And then again, I believe it's May 4th, that Friday, when the Cubs come to town, we'll be back at Patios from 12 to 2. We'd like to encourage everyone to join us. But we do appreciate Patios and all they're doing for the show. I know they're excited about it. And they were really happy with the fans and the interaction. So thanks to everyone for coming out. And again, want to say thank you. Benji, let's dive right into last night's game, because that's all anybody really wants to talk about today. I'm going to start by saying this. You and I have talked. We've talked on the air. We talked off the air. We got to wait a little while here before we start seeing what we really have. Up until this point in the season, we had some guys that had some decent outings in spring training and things like that. And, it really hasn't transitioned into the season. Obviously the bullpen's blown a couple games here. It's going to catch some hell. We've got a couple guys that, man, I don't know what's going on with Matt Carpenter, but he's, I go either way on all these guys, but he's really irritating the hell out of me right now at the plate. I don't know what his I don't know what he's trying to do, to be completely honest with you. And we'll come back to that in a minute, because I know everybody wants to talk about last night first. But I'm going to bring up Greg Holland and tell you this. Am I happy we have Greg Holland? Absolutely. I have to say this, and again, I'm not saying this to be like a know-it-all, because I don't know what it matters, so therefore it doesn't matter that I feel this way. Why was he here? Why is he here? He spent let me rephrase. Don't you go to spring training for multiple weeks to get game action, to get yourself ready for games that count? Isn't that what spring training's for? Now, I'm not a dummy. I know enough to know that Greg Holland hasn't been sitting at home on the couch eating Doritos. But what I do know is,
get ready.
Yeah, he's been playing catch. I understand that. He's probably been throwing to some hitters, whoever they are, doing whatever. But I've heard you say, you can't replace game reps. You just can't, like big league game reps. And, you know, that's what essentially the last 2 weeks of spring training is, when most of the guys have been sent out. Now you're facing the better of the players, so that you're consistently, for the starting pitchers, as they start rolling through the lineup too and getting into that third time, they're still seeing the same hitters. The hitters are seeing guys as they do that. They start seeing some relievers, blah, 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 right? Well, what in the hell is this guy doing after two appearances coming up here and throwing in a big league game? Now, we can fault the manager. We can fault the GM. We can fault whoever. I don't care. You can fault whoever you want. I don't really give a shit. My question is, why would anybody think that that's acceptable? I don't understand. I mean, this isn't a St. Louis Cardinal thing. This happens all the time everywhere. I don't understand this. You got to explain this to me. How in the hell a guy is supposed to be ready to come up here and be sharp and be effective this way?
Well, let's get one thing out of the way. Let's get Matheny out of the question, okay? Please, let's do it. Let's act smart here. Matheny is a manager. What a manager do? Look at the list, who is available. If he's in the big leagues, he's ready to go, right? That's what we all think. If he's in the big leagues, he's ready to go. That's Matheny's mindset, which any manager would have put this guy in at any moment last night. Any manager, because he's in the list. Especially on the game on the line, he's a veteran, he's done it before. Okay, now let's go to the organization, whoever is in charge of that, right? Of what you just explained to all of us. Who's in charge of that? Who's in charge of getting him ready to come up to the big leagues? You said he wasn't ready. He didn't look ready to me. He didn't look like he was good to me, even though it could have been just a one thing, a one game deal too. But he didn't look ready to me, right? He didn't get spring training. He didn't went over there and did this and did that. I get it. But that's not Matheny's fault. So who is in charge of bringing this kid up thinking he's ready and going to help us out? That's the one that you got to go to, not Matheny, right? If you ask me, it's the wrong situation to put this guy in. Okay? The very, very wrong situation. You only got a couple of outings, like you just explained, and you're going to put this guy in this situation right now in the first game that he got to pitch in St. Louis? It has to be like it was. I don't think it's the right situation, not because it didn't work out. It's because he's not – he's just the first time. I don't know. But in my head, I don't think it's the right choice to put him. But it's not Matheny's fault. Matheny's – is to manage, and Matheny to manage whatever he has on the paper, on the lineup card, is ready to go today. I don't care who you are. You are in the lineup card, you're ready to go. It's like if you brought up a guy that is a catcher and he's not ready to go, he only got a couple games, but you have him in the lineup, you have him in the lineup card, in the eighth inning, you have the pitcher coming up, you might pinch it because he's there in the lineup card. So Matheny question is out of here. I mean, don't even blame Matheny for that one. That'll be stupid. But who's in charge of knowing when these kids are ready? That's the one that we need to look for. That's the one we got to go out there and say, okay, who made the decision? Okay, this guy is ready to go. That's the only thing I'm saying in all this, you know?
Well, so the fact is Matheny's taken a beating from everybody from the media guys all the way down to the fans.
For putting him in? Is that what he's taking?
Well, possibly for leaving him in after two batters. And my thing on that is, and this is where I want to hear from you, would you have pulled him after two hitters that he couldn't find the strike zone? I mean, is that even real? I'm asking you as a player.
That's not realistic. That's not realistic.
Okay, tell us why it's
now
not.
You're playing,
hang on.
Playing,
tell us why it's not realistic.
Video games, bro.
All right, tell us why it's not realistic, because the fans are going to say you're crazy. So tell us why it's not realistic.
It's not what the fans say. It's about baseball. It's about the baseball, the game of baseball. It's not about being crazy. It's not about the fans right or wrong or me or right or wrong. I played the game for a long time, and you don't do that to these kids, man. And plus, who are you going to bring? And then all of a sudden you go to, you're hoping and wishing that these guys find the strike zone, get a double play, and get out of the inning. That's what you're hoping for, man. What, every time somebody walks a couple guys up, you're going to take them out? You will not have a bullpen for July. For June, you will not have a bullpen. Look at what happened to the Phillies. The guy, take him out. An infielder pitching in 3 days of the season. In the third day of the season, we have an infielder pitching in the game. I mean, it's not realistic. It's not video games you're playing here. These guys are good. These guys, whenever these Greg Holland was brought up to the mound, you're not expecting the walks. Yes, we're not expecting the walks, but he can also get himself out of it. We've seen it. We've seen it with Carpenter when he made that error, and then all of a sudden Jordan hit. He walked the guy. That's two batters right there. What, you want to take him out? No, you got to let these guys try to get out of the trouble. You got to let them go. And the main reason is you have bullpen that needs to – you have to wait to the – maybe this guy gets out of the inning. Maybe we go to extra innings. You have to save those guys out there in the bullpen, not because of two guys. You can't take a guy out. Come on, man. Come on. Let's get real here.
Well, I guess my thought on the whole thing is I would have to imagine it's a lot easier, since it didn't work out, to sit there and go, he wasn't right. Anybody could see he wasn't
right.
You should have took him out. And now, listen, I'm going to be honest. I was watching the game. When they brought him in, I thought, okay, here we go. To your point, he's here. If you've watched any baseball at all, know anything, your closer, and he is, let's face it, this, we're done with the whole wondering who's closing. They gave him $14 million, gave up the pick, gave up the international signing bonus for him to be the closer. So he's the closer.
He's legit.
Okay, and he's done it and the whole bit. So when you're a closer, you either pitch the bottom of the ninth when you're winning by typically three runs or less, or if you're tied, you pitch the top of the 10th, or sometimes the top of the ninth, depending on how you tied it and when you did it. It's pretty simple. Okay, it's pretty simple. I mean, that's basic 101 baseball. For all out there listening, it's basic 101 baseball. Now,
it's not a rhythm rule that a manager cannot bring this guy in the eighth trying to say, okay, this is my saving opportunity of the game, and bring him in, right? I mean, it can happen. I'm not saying it happens.
No. I know what you mean. I was talking just in generalities. But, you know, obviously, sure. I mean, people think, okay, this is your seventh inning guy. This is your eighth inning guy. This is your ninth inning guy. It would seem to be that simple. It is if all things go well. You never know who shows up at the park and says, my arm's not feeling good today, or who pitched 2 days in a row, or who threw and didn't wake up feeling well.
Yes.
You know, those are the problems that we never know about. Those are the problems that this manager that everybody complains about stands up there and takes bullets over and just gets the hell beat out of me for, which is fine. Because, listen, I'm way, I'm going to say this out loud. I'm way, way, way past the point of bringing up all the things that Mike gets blasted on that really aren't his fault. At the end of the day, everybody knows how my feeling on it. Players play. The bottom line is he has put – now, has it not worked out? Nope, it hasn't. Has he put the team in a position for it to work out? Yes, he did. Now, of course it's easy to say, well, that didn't work, and he should have known that wasn't going to work, and we're seeing the same things. That brings me to the next thing. Well, that brings me to the next thing. Okay, so here's my favorite. So everybody made a big deal about a comment from Jose Oquendo about Jose Martinez playing first base. So there was a big article in the paper, a bunch of I told you so's, Matheny's no good. They hired these coaches around him. They're really going to run the show. He's going to be the front man, right? Everybody saw the article. They all know Bernie wrote it. It was, You know, Jose, some comments from Jose Oquendo about Jose Martinez tells us they don't give a shit about Mike Matheny anymore. They're running the show. Okay, fine. And I don't even care if that's true or not. Whatever. But now, because the bullpen's not doing well, now we're back to, well, then obviously Mike's not listening to Mike Maddox. So I guess what people think is going on is Mike Maddox is telling him something on the bench, and Mike's going, nope, not doing it, which has got to be the...
We don't know that.
Well, you have zero.
We're just speculating.
Right. But the speculation is...
I'll tell you off the air, but we don't know about it, man. We don't know what's going on in there. Only they know. And like you said, Jimbo, I want to bring that up, what you were talking about. Hey, you don't know if the guy had been thrown. Like Leone the other day, he gave up all the homer and all that to the D-backs. That guy had pitched 4 out of 5 days, bro. 4 out of 5 days. You don't see that often, okay? So we can be hard on the guy because he gave up the home run. But gosh, man, let's be real. He's pitched 4 times in the last 5 days. Come on, man. Those are the little things that the fans need to start understanding. What happened the day before? What happened 2 days before? Did he pitch? Is he sore? Is he just battling after right now because he wants to make it? He wants to do it for the team? Is he sacrificing his arm out there? I mean, we don't see that. We just see the result and say, okay, he's good. Okay, he's bad. I mean, that's not fair for us, man. As players, come on, man. You don't know if Martinez got hit in a heel on a pitch, and then also the next day, he can't swing the bat very good. But, man, he's battling out there. He's doing it. He's playing. He's trying to do it. He's trying to hit. He's trying to get RBI for what? For us. For the fans. For the team. For the city. You know, you got to understand that, man. These guys are beat up. Carp, we all know that he came from an injury in the shoulder. You don't know if that is affecting him in the swing. Nobody knows. But those things are real. Guys play out there. They play hurt. And sometimes it affects your freaking game. It does. Believe me, I got a broken elbow. A broken left elbow, and that ended my career. It's very simple to explain. I was a 400 hitter in April, and here comes May. I got a foul tip in my left elbow. I didn't know it was broken, but it was hurting as heck, and I couldn't even swing. I could catch a little, so they kept me in the lineup. But guess what? I couldn't even swing. My average went down. My production went down. Here comes this guy that nobody knows, Buster Posey. And then all of a sudden, he goes, bam, 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 and Benji Molina's career goes to Texas, and that's it, because I couldn't do my numbers because I was hurting. I mean, nobody knew that. I didn't put that in the paper. Hey, I can't hit, guys, because my elbow hurts. Man, these guys go through a lot. We have to understand that. We do have to. And everybody, this is not the Cardinals, Jimbo. Every team has these guys. Every team has these players that are hurting all the time, but they're battling out there for the city of St. Louis or their city, wherever they belong. So, I mean, we have to understand those points, too. I mean, it's not an excuse. It's just that happens.
Well, on that note, so let's just say, I mean, let's just look at where we're at today, okay? Again, I mean, people are going to beat up the Holland thing. I see all kinds of tweets. Holland should have never been in the game.
Get Matheny out of here.
Well, here's
the fans, Jimbo. Tell them.
Here's my favorite. Holland should have never been put in a game situation like that. Well, what do you mean? He's a grown man closer. What does that mean? It was too stressful for him? I mean, come on.
No, it wasn't stressful. I don't think he was ready.
Yeah, I don't think he was ready to go. That's my opinion. But whatever.
But that's not stressful for him. It's not stressful. It's just that he wasn't ready. That's another thing. That's another subject. But then that one you can say something about Matheny because he made the decision to put him in, right? Which I'm saying get Matheny out, and what I mean by that is he's in the paper, man. He's in the lineup card. And he's proven to be a great closer. You don't know that he's gonna mess up like this or have 4 walks or whatever it is. You don't know that. You think he's going to come in and go 1, 2, 3, let's go, let's get out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the other thing they're taking a beating on today that I want to ask you about, and I just want to clarify this. When you have second and third and one out, okay, the go-ahead runs on third base, you're going to walk the guy at the plate every time. I just want people to understand that. Now, maybe they should have brought another guy in if they didn't think he could throw a strike. That's all. I mean, we can talk about that all day long. But just so people understand this, there's a reason why you always walk the guy. Okay? You walk him.
Because
you're looking for – there's only a couple things that get you out of there without – I mean, and one of them's a double play. So that's why you do it. That's why you do it. You have a force out at every base. You get a tapper back.
Yeah.
You can get the force at home, anything. It's going to happen. So anybody right now, anybody that's like, well, they shouldn't have intentionally walked him because he was struggling with those strikes, then you don't. I'm sorry. I can't help you. And I don't give a shit if you're a media member. I don't give a shit if you played Little League or played then you weren't paying attention, okay, because you don't not walk the guy there. Now, we can argue whether or not you can say you would have took him out and brought somebody else in. That's your business. I'm not even saying I wouldn't have. I have no idea. I'm not in that spot. I don't have to look him in the eye. I don't have to look him in the eye when I come back in the clubhouse and say, I know we gave you $14 million and you're our closer, but you know you walked a couple guys and I don't trust you. I don't have to do that. He does. But I'm just really shocked at some of the stuff. Now, again, I'm not – am I happy with how they're playing? Absolutely not. I've made it pretty clear. Some of the I don't know what's going on. Like I said,
Jimbo, one of the things that you or anybody or us could talk about Mattini is the lineup, because he makes it, right?
Yep.
He makes it. He makes the changes on the bullpen, like you just said. He makes the not this one, because he's on the lineup. He's in the lineup card. He could bring him in anytime. That's okay. But you know, those are the things that you could say, hey, listen, these guys not working, man. These guys not doing this. Why not sitting down Carpenter? Why not sitting down a couple guys when they're hitting? Why not bringing up Yadi and Fowler? Martinez. Hit him third. Get Ozuna fourth. Get Yadi fifth. You know, those three guys in the middle, no, but he keeps Carpenter in the lineup in the middle. He's struggling. I mean, those are the things that we could say something about Mattini, because he's in control of that. He can have control of that, okay? The player never goes to Mattini and say, okay, I'm in the lineup today. Okay, I'm not. No, Mattini makes the lineup. That's what I'm saying. If you guys want to get Mattini in your head, go for the things that Mattini has control of. You know, when he didn't bunt, when he didn't do this, when the lineup looks really bad and the guy's struggling and you put him in the middle and between all those guys, well, you're slowing down your batting, you know, your batting lineup. You're slowing them down because that guy, it's a struggling. So sit him down and let these guys do it. Let me see what happened. Or move the guys from eighth batter to second batter. Let's see, fam. It's not doing well at second batter. Let's move him up to sixth. Let's see if he picks up his swing. You know what I'm saying? Different stuff. Different. Don't just keep the same and say, okay, today's the day. Okay, tomorrow's the day. Okay, the next day's the day. Okay, the next. And then you keep going and you find yourself in this hole. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's when you have to. That's when you could say something about Mattini or coaching stuff, whatever you want to say, but not to these things. That here, why are you going to be mad at Mattini for putting Greg Holland in? Come on, man. Crazy?
Well, my question is this. You know, I'm going to bring up Carpenter. I'm trying to figure out what he's doing, to be completely honest with you. We heard him proclaimed at the end of spring training that he is not going to he's not going to let his average suffer at the expense of hitting home runs any longer, blah blah blah. I don't know what he's doing.
That's not a smart thing to say either.
No, it's not.
If he said it, because obviously we don't know.
No, he said it. It's in an interview. He said it.
That's not the right thing to say.
Well, only because of this. It's almost like he said it because he thought people wanted to hear it. And that happens sometimes. I don't understand it. But here's my thing. And again, I know we live in a day and age where these stats are supposed to tell us this, that, and the other thing. But I mean, I know OBP is important and getting a walk is supposedly as good as getting a hit, which, again, I've said it once and I'll say it again. This is an example, okay? His OBP's not that bad because he's walking, but he ain't driving in any runs.
I want to address that when you're
talking. Yeah, I will, but he ain't driving in any runs or getting any big hits for us when runners are on base, which is the whole difference, okay? We need some hits when runners are on base.
And I'm going to tell you why.
We're taking way too many fastballs. Way too many fastballs. I don't understand it. I'm perplexed. Listen, I want people to understand, okay, this is about approach. This isn't about ability. That's an approach. And again, here's the thing. He's kind of had this approach for a long time, but what pitches he's looking for and what he's trying to do with them, I don't know, man. I'm completely
okay.
Perplexed. So go ahead.
I'm going to tell you this, and I hope everybody understands, even the fans that are listening and everybody. You know why Carp is struggling right now? It's because of what you just said, taking fastball. Well, let me tell you something. Taking a first pitch fastball is not necessarily a bad thing, right? You know, just getting started. That's okay. I don't have a problem with that. But when you get your count to 2-0, and you get your count to 3-1 with men in scoring position, with men on third with less than two outs, or in scoring position, and you get a count of 2-0 and you, or 3-1, and you take a freaking fastball right down the middle because whatever your head is telling you, maybe he's doing for the walk, maybe you don't want to swing, whatever it is, what the heck is going on? If you have a 3-1 count, and if you have a 2-0 count, and the guy challenged you, here it is, here's the fastball, right down the middle, or middle in, or middle away, and you're going to tell me you're going to take it with the men on second base, or with the men on third base with less than two outs, which I saw it with my own eyes? Come on, man. There's something wrong there. There's something wrong there. And that's why he's struggling. That's one of the reasons, I should say. One of the reasons. Not why, the whole thing. But one of the reasons why he's struggling is because of those things. I bet you anything, Jimbo, if he swings at those pitches, 2-0, 3-1, he brings the guy in. We get a run. That's the RBI. It doesn't matter. The infield back, they hit a fly ball, the guy scored, whatever. But if he hits that ball, he's in a super count. He's in 3-0, 2-0 counts and taking fastballs down the middle. And you asking why is he struggling? That's one of the reasons right there. I mean, he'd rather take pitches, he'd rather take a walk than bringing a guy in? Nah, I don't know, man. I don't know. For me, that's a no-no. If I were ever a hitting coach, I'll be right in his face and I would tell him, hey, listen, we work our butt off here for you to get a 2-0 count, for you to get a fastball 2-0 count, for you to get a fastball 3-1 count, especially when the guy's at third in less than 2 hours, especially when the guy's at second, running his current position. That's what we're dealing here for, and that's why he's struggling.
I mean, it's been my understanding for a long time that if you can't hit 2-0 or 3-1 or 2-1, you're going to struggle to hit. I mean, the numbers will show you that. If you can't hit fastballs in those counts, and listen, the reason why the game's not easy is because at the big league level, you don't get fastballs all the time in 2-1 counts, 2-0 counts, 3-1 counts. We know that. Very good pitchers that have control of their pitches pitch backwards in counts, okay? And what that means is, yes, a lot of times you get those pitches.
What we saw these days were no breaking balls.
Well, that's the thing, okay? You're going to get them a certain percentage of the time, and that's when you got to make your hay. And again, that's
you're
where I'm going ready with this.
For fastball, Jimbo.
I know.
Always ready for fastball. If you ask Joe Mabry right now, he's probably biting his tongue. He's probably pulling his hair. He's probably, you know, worried. Like, come on, man, pull the trigger. I mean, seriously, get on the fastball. The guy starts you with a changeup slide of two balls. You know a fastball's coming. Even if he doesn't come, you try to hold up. That's okay. But at least you're ready for it. You're ready. I mean, that's an RBI. That's a run for my team. Every time we score one run, Jimbo, they got to score two to win. Every time we score two runs, they got to score three to win. Come on, man. This is easy to understand. If you get a good count, go for it, man. Bring that freaking guy in. We need that run, you know? Don't wait for the walk, you know? Don't wait for taking pitches or something. You take pitches whenever your own at-bat is with nobody on base. I get that. That's all right. Not with 2-0 or 3-1, but, hey, that's your at-bat. That's fine. But, dude, when men are scoring position, we got to bring this guy in, man.
I don't think I think it's been proven that if you want to swing – if you're going to put yourself in 1-2 counts and 0-2 and that's how you're going to try to make a living hitting, I don't think it's going to go too well.
You will struggle.
Well, and again, it's all about approach, and I listen, he's the professional guy. He's had a nice track record. I mean, he struggled last year, he's struggling now. I don't know what he's doing. I'm not
talking about what I see this season. And the things that could help him. Believe me, Jimbo, I know it's whenever this guy, if he starts swinging at 2-0 fastballs right down the middle, you don't think he's going to get out of the freaking slump? Come on, man. Come on.
I mean, no pro here. I have no problem with a guy that routinely, like, I've enjoyed watching him swing on first pitch fastballs. I don't know. Like I said, I'm struggling with the whole thing. I don't get it.
Jimbo, whenever you have a guy in scoring position or somebody that's third base or less than 2 hours, you're a coach, man. You're a coach all your life. You coach. Don't you want that guy in?
Oh, yeah.
Of course you want the guy in. You don't want the guy at home plate. In this case, we're talking about Carpenter, but I've seen it a couple other guys taking a 2-0 fastball right down the middle, and then they end up in being 3-2. And then they pop it off, and they don't bring the guy in. But then you go back and say, wow, 2-0 fastball, I should have hit that or something. I mean, it's easier said than done from out here. But the plan doesn't change. The plan doesn't change. Your mindset doesn't change, believe me. That's a really, really good point. The mindset doesn't change.
And that was kind of my thing. Listen, I'm not sitting here saying, I mean, number one, it's the hardest thing in the world to do, whether people want to admit it or not. Hitting a baseball, the reason that we feel the way we do is because it looks easy. Because I don't think we realize how good they are. So then when they do things, we think, well, you just do this or you just do that. I'm not talking about that part of it. I've watched all kinds of guys have some bad luck this year. And, you know, Marcelo Zuna's striking out, swinging at some bad pitches. He squared some balls up that he didn't get any luck on either. I've seen Yachty hit some line drives.
Exactly.
It goes up and down.
Exactly.
I get it. It's the approach for me. If you watch Marcelo Zuna, you can see him leave the batter's box and be upset with himself. It's not because it's because he allowed himself to get into a bad spot in the, like, just.
Jimbo. He's ready to hit every pitch. He's not taking. Have you seen him taking? Maybe when they get one out and one pitch or something like that. Yeah, he's smart enough to know that he has to take a couple pitches. I've seen that. But whenever he's ready to go, he's ready to go. He ain't no taking nothing. He's ready to go. That's what I'm saying about Carp. Carp, I like Carp. I'm not banging on Carp. I like Carp. I mean, whatever he's done these years, I like him. The only thing I don't like is when he runs the bases, he's not very aggressive. He doesn't get the next base, things like that. And then he's average on the defense. That's okay. But I love Carp. I mean, he gets on base and everything. But what I'm talking about to you, it's, dude, you have a guy at running scoring position. You have a guy at third in less than 2 outs. And you cannot come to my face and tell me you're going to take a 2-0 fastball. 2-0 fastball for strike. You are not going to tell me, or a 3-1 fastball, you're not going to tell me that's okay. And you, and many, many, many hitting coaches will tell you that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm frustrated by it. Let's
it's one of the reasons why he's struggling.
Let's move on to something else that's been a little bothered. Number one, just so people know, I saw a lot of this on social media last night. I saw this. I thought Jose Oquendo was supposed to help the base running. Why is he getting runners thrown out? Number one, Jose Oquendo had – I'm going to say this, and then I'll let you finish. For those that don't understand the fundamentals of baseball, he had zero to do with both of those runners getting thrown out. Okay, number one, when you hit a ball to the left side, the ball is quote unquote in front of you. Where you go, now as you pass first base, if a ball's in a corner, your first base coach is helping you because you had your head down running. When you come around the base, you find the baseball, and now it is up to you to decide. It is your decision. Okay, now, both those throws, both those guys pushed the envelope, and both times perfect throws were made and they were out. It's pretty simple. Now, you can say it's dumb. Fundamentally, you never make the first or third out at third base. Again, we've seen it before. It pisses us off. We get irritated. I get it. I mean, it's a baseball play. If they're safe both times, we talk about the aggressiveness. We talk about how they were great baseball decisions. When it doesn't work out, we bitch and complain. You can't have it both ways. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple. Now, am I wrong in that? Yeah, I mean, so, is Jose Oquendo telling him, come on over here?
You're so right. You're so right. I mean, I'm just laughing because what people get worried about and what people say, and I mean, I just laugh at that. I think it's funny. Yeah, there's no way in the world it's his fault. No way. No way in the world Oquendo had anything to do with those two. But, like you explained to people, and pay attention, pay attention. You have the ball in front of you. You decide for yourself on that matter. Now, if Oquendo send the guy from second to home and the ball's right behind left field, he gets thrown out, you could say something about Oquendo not being a good whatever coach or whatever you want to say, which I find really ridiculous. But anyways, you can say something about it. But you can't tell me with the ball in front of me, I know if I can make it. I know if I have a chance. I know if I'm going to be thrown out by a mile. If I'm taking a chance and I'm the manager, I love that. I love that because he took them two perfect throws to get you out. If that ball is right, 1 foot to the right, 1 foot to the left, which we see often, 1 foot to the right, 1 foot to the left, he's safe. I don't see what's the freaking deal that they got thrown out. Yeah, they got thrown out. So what? You want them base to base? So whenever they base to base, you criticize the manager for not doing running, and then when they run and they get thrown out or whatever, then you criticize everybody because of that. I mean, come on, man. Let's make up our minds here, you know?
Yeah, and again, I guess my how do I say this? The way I've always looked at it is this, like with umpires, if it's a bang-bang play and it doesn't go our way, I mean, yeah, if it's against me, I wanted the call, but I didn't get it, but I also understand it's a bang-bang play. If a runner gets thrown out in an aggressive situation and it's close and it took a perfect throw to get him, I get it. I'm not, like, going to be all bent out of shape. It's when they do it and they're out by 5-10 feet, and it's like that was just silly.
Yeah, of course.
You know.
Of course.
But, you know, when you're struggling offensively or it's cold and you feel like you got to do something, so you push the envelope, it happens. Again, I'm not going to get all bent out of shape about
it. I live with that 100%.
What I can't live with, and this is going to be an interesting topic, before we do go into this, I want to talk a little bit about the conundrum of Jose Martinez. Because we need to talk about it. Before we do, I want to remind everybody, check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. It's our website. You can do multiple things there. Subscribe to the show. It's absolutely free. You'll get a notification when the show's out. You can do your shopping at Amazon through our website. Helps us with production costs. You just simply click the Amazon banner. You're done with us. Doesn't cost you anything. We appreciate it. You can also listen to the show there. You can subscribe any way you want to subscribe as well. Find us on social media. That's our big ask. On Twitter, you can find us at Birds on a Bat Show. Happy to have you guys be a part of our conversations on there. Find us on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends. Invite them all to like it and get them involved in the conversation as well. We're also running the Facebook group Birds on a Bat if you'd like to become a member of that as well. Just simply click it, and we're happy to accept you if you're a Cardinal fan. Instagram, loving what we're getting out of that. It's been helpful. Thanks to Benji and, of course, Yachty for sharing some of our stuff on Instagram. We thank him so much for that. You can find us, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Again, guys, following us on our social media sites is the best way to stay in tune. We're going to have contests. We're going to have multiple contests this year. We gave away tickets to opening day. We were at Patio's for our first live session on Saturday. We gave away about 40 sets of Cardinal tickets. We gave away an M4 by Yachty.com. We gave away an M4 hat signed by Yachty, a ball signed by Yachty, a program signed by Yachty, a bobblehead signed by Yachty. Gave away the book Molina signed by Benji. Again, if you want to follow us and you want to know when we're doing this kind of stuff, you got to. Okay, so make sure you follow all our social media. Special thanks to lineupmedia.fm, home of the newest Yo Radio. Make sure you check it out. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. The Apple version is done. The iTunes version, Apple, is done. They're finishing up the one for the Androids and things like that. Should be any day now, so you should be ready to listen to Yo Radio on all devices here in the next week or so. Looking forward to seeing how that grows. Lineup Media takes your entertainment time very serious, so give them an opportunity for your entertainment time. Special thanks to Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, and, of course, Darren Yates for his work on the show last week. We appreciate everything he did for us. And, again, our partners, InnovativeCompanies.com. Make sure you check out Randy and Stephanie Green as they continue to do great work. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. Get them involved early in the process. It'll save you time, energy, and money. Again, great people. And, of course, Patio's for joining the show and becoming our studio sponsor. We're always happy to come to you from the Patio Studios. Excited about that as well. And, of course, Arlington Greens, located down right between Granite City and Collinsville. Mark Marcuso, the pro out there, friend to everyone. If you go out there and you get an opportunity to meet Mark, you're going to love him. Does a great job with the course. They're busy as heck, but they do have a lot of play time available in the middle of the day, so make sure you give them an opportunity. Just give them a call at any time. Get yourself a tee time set up out there. And, again, we want to thank Mark Marcuso and everybody out at Arlington Greens for their support of the show. Loved having him on. He's a big Cardinal fan, and he's just a great guy all around. So I want to thank everybody for that. Okay, let's move on to my question to you about Jose Martinez.
Wait, 1 second, Jimbo. Let me ask you one.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you think that the fans would have been upset? Because, you know, Giancarlo was really close to come over, right? Come over to us.
Yep.
So would you think they would have been upset if he would have strike out 2 times already, 5 times in the game?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing, you know. Listen, I'm going to say this. I can't stand the best fans in baseball bullshit. I don't want to hear it from anybody. I don't want to hear it. I don't really care about that. I also, for the life of me, I really don't care what anybody thinks either, especially outside. So I'll say this. What I do know is this. The reason I've always enjoyed it is because I will say this, and I'm not saying other cities aren't. I live in here. This is all I know. I'm not saying fans in Chicago are stupid or don't know baseball, or fans in L.A. or fans in San Francisco or Atlanta or Milwaukee, wherever. Doesn't matter. I have no idea what type of baseball fans they are. What I have seen from the baseball fans in St. Louis is giving their team a fair, giving them a break, supporting them when they struggle. I've seen fans stand up and cheer great plays by the opposition, welcome back former players. I've seen fans that sit in the stands and understand the game of baseball, and when things don't go well, they don't complain because it just didn't go well. They'll say, you know, that stinks, but I understand why we did that. I'm not seeing that as much the last couple of years. I see a lot of complaining because something didn't work out. I also would like to believe that people would say, well, I know he's struggling right now, but Jiminy Christmas, I mean, look at the guy's track record. I've got to believe he's going to come around. And if he didn't come around for some reason, what do you do? I mean, I don't understand how you trade for a guy with that track record, and then all of a sudden, if he goes to horse shit, you start blaming people.
Yeah, you want enough strikeout.
Yeah, I mean, how do you blame somebody? I mean, how do you predict that, right? So, but yeah, that's, I have seen that the last couple of years. Now, I'm going to say this in defense of the fans, okay, that have – I'm not going to say change. Maybe they're new fans. Maybe they don't care anymore. I don't care. It doesn't really matter to me. You have to fan how you want to fan. It doesn't matter to me. But I'll say this. I think a lot of it's frustration. I think Cardinal fans are frustrated. I think Cardinal fans have also become accustomed to a certain style of baseball. I think they've come a certain style of player. I think they've and some of what we have going on right now is not what we've had in the past. Nobody likes change, as the man says in the movie.
You gotta say it straight up, Jimbo. It's not Cardinal baseball.
Well, yeah, if you want to use that term, yes. So I would say fans are frustrated. But my question to you is this. I love the whole Jose Martinez story is great. He sure can hit. He sure can hit. But I got to be honest with you. Okay. I'm usually a, you know, I understand when you see a bad play, it magnifies things. And I'm typically on the fence of I understand baseball enough to know that, you know, while people want to complain about third base, it's not really, and like, you just don't, there aren't enough balls hit to third base to worry about it. As long as you make whatever percentage of the plays and your offense outweighs it, that's fine. But just like I said last year when Carpenter was at first base, and it's one thing to make an error on a tough play, but you can't miss balls thrown right to you. And it happened last year with Carpenter. It happened to Jose Martinez last night. People want to say, well, if Carpenter could throw the ball. Listen, that was a tough play. That's a left-handed hitter with speed. You got to charge the ball. You got to throw across your body. That was a nice play by Carpenter. I don't care if the throw was low. The ball didn't even skip. He just flat out missed it. All right? These are sure outs. Like, I've seen Jose Martinez be a part of three plays so far this year that are not tough plays. They are sure outs and haven't been made. I got a big problem with that because that can't happen. So what do we do?
Okay, I'm going to tell you one thing. Remember at the beginning of the spring training or one of those shows that we did, remember what we were discussing about the same thing about Cart? You have to sacrifice one side because you gain on the other, right? Remember that show?
Yep.
We were talking about how Cart doesn't run the bases well. Fielding is okay, you know, it's like average, normal. We have the same thing here with Martinez. Wow, you're going to be pissed because he made a couple errors or one error or he couldn't handle that ball or whatever, and then you got to sit him down? Is that your bench player when he's our best hitter in this year? That's what I'm trying to say to the fans. And also because that's what we have to, okay? Because if we had a true first baseman, like Eric Hosmer, right? He's a true first baseman. He plays first base all his life or whatever. Or we had Albert Pujols at first base, which he's played first for a long time. Jeff Bagwell, whoever you want to name. If we had that, we don't have this conversation because he's a true first baseman. And they both catch and they both hit. In this matter that we're talking about the Cardinals, it's what we have. It's what we have. The organization has to make a stand and say, listen, we have Jose Martinez. He's our best hitter all year. We got to play him. Now, we got to sacrifice his defense because it's not, you know, it's average or whatever you want to call it, but it's not that good, but we're sacrificing that. So if you're prepared as an organization to do that, then you can say nothing. Then you can say nothing about when Jose Martinez makes an error. Keep working with him. Keep doing it hard. Jose Oquendo cannot catch the ball for him, guys. Let's get that clear. He can train you like crazy. He can train you with the best. He's the best training. He cannot catch the ball for you, or he cannot throw it for you. So let's get that straight. So with that being said, we're sacrificing the Cart not running the bases well, the Cart not, you know, being okay at third or second, not having that much range, which is playing okay for me. We're sacrificing Martinez's defense. For what? For the offense. That's what they're doing. Stop with the errors and things like, yeah, it's going to happen, but that's what we have, and you have to get used to it. If you have it, we had a chance to sign Mustaka at third base. And we didn't. So guess what? Who do we have? Cart. Very simple. We have Cart. And what do we have with Cart? We already discussed it. So we have to live with that. When those things happen, we just have to somehow find a way and block it out in your head and say, okay, all right, he's going to help us on the other hand. Don't worry. Come on, Cart. You're going to be all right, buddy. Whenever you go come up, get the hit, or, hey, Martinez, you drop that ball. You should have caught it. Yeah, we all know it in the world. We all know it. But guess what? You're going to come up with a base loaded. You're going to give us that hit that we need, man. Come on, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what we have.
Yeah, again, here's the thing, and I know what you're getting at. The bottom line is this. Those other guys are first basemen. People talk about, we talked about, you know, they talk about Hosmer and he won some gold gloves, and then you have the stat guys come in and go, I don't care what the gold glove says. The stats say he's not very good first baseman.
Sorry to interrupt you. One second real quick.
Sure.
You have Greg Garcia. Put him at third. You got, who was the other guy that we have there?
Munoz.
That could be better. That could be better, but could be better at first base than Jose Martinez, right?
Yep.
I mean, if that's what we're asking. So put him in there, and then let's get Carp out, and let's get Martinez into the bench. Let's see what happens. All right, fans? Let's do that. Let's take those two guys out at our line. I know Carp is not doing well right now, but let's take Martinez out, and then let's play defense, guys. Yay! Let's play defense. Let's put a guy out there first. Let's put a third guy at third base, Garcia, who catches everything, the great defender. Let's do that. Let's put Jerko at first base. He's good. All right. And then let's see what happens with the team.
What do you think would happen with the team if we did that?
Do we get RBIs? Do we get run scores? Do we get all these things that Martinez is doing? I know Carp is struggling. I know that. But we all know what he could do. I mean, he's struggling right now. I get it. But we all know what he could do. He can bring guys in. He can, you know, he can get a bat on base for the other guys to bring him in too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you have to, because since you have that, you don't have any other guys. You have those guys in your lineup, in your team, in your roster. That's what you have. So you put the best and you sacrifice whatever it is, you got to sacrifice for the team. You know, you got to sacrifice it, man. I seen a lot of third baseman or outfielder. Let's go to the Cubs. Schwarber, didn't my Joe Mann sacrifice the left field side? He put him in left field. All right, and everybody that knows baseball they know exactly that Schwarber has no chance of playing left field. But what did he do? He sacrificed the defense. He could hurt you, but he sacrificed that defense because Schwarber could give you a home run, two RBIs, three RBIs every day.
Well, how come?
You know what I'm saying? It doesn't happen in the Cardinals only.
Well, how come?
The Cardinals are not the only one going through it.
Well, how come everybody says then Madden's a genius and Mike's a fool for it?
That's just fans. You're a fan of the guy or you're not, right? Isn't that the simplest way to see it?
I mean, we all watched Terry Francona play Jason Kipnis in center field last year.
Seriously, and you think that's not that? And he did hurt him one game in the playoff or something.
And it ain't like the guy had never played outfield before. Never.
I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, never played outfield before. And here's the thing. This is what I don't understand about that one. Okay. It isn't like Jason Kipnis can hit because he can't. He's not a very good hitter. So I don't understand that. Other than.
But for him, what is his name? Francona?
Yep.
For Francona, he thought he could hit, right? I mean, he thought he.
Well, he obviously thought he could. Well, let me ask you this. Was it more that he thought he could hit or more of, I got to get this other guy in the lineup? He's a second baseman, he's a better player. I got to get him in. But Kipnis is my guy. Kipnis is my guy. And I can't do that to him, so I got to keep him in the lineup. Is it more that?
Oh, it could be both. It could be both. Yeah, you're right. Seriously. It could be both. It could be like, oh, man, I don't know. You know, I cannot do this to this guy. Yeah, it could be that. But also it could be the other way around, like you just explained. I'm telling you, it happens everywhere, man. It happens. Go if the teams don't have it, go around. You'll see a catcher playing first base. You'll see a first baseman trying the outfield. You'll see a third base playing first base. You'll see a first base going to third because they have another option at first. You know what I'm saying, Jimbo? It doesn't only happen in St. Louis. We are sacrificing that side of the defense and that side on Cart, which he's been playing great defense, but you know, we're sacrificing that side because it's our best options in the lineup that could help us score runs and win games. That's what they're doing, and it's because it's what we have. It's not a Pujols. We don't have a Pujols anymore that plays defense of a Gold Glover and then go hit for an MVP every year. We don't have Hosmer, which is a Gold Glover and a guy who can hit too. We don't have these guys that go out there and play defense. No, we don't have it. We have the Martinez. We have the Carp. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we have, and they have to play it. And we said it in the shows, man. We said it in shows before. We have to sacrifice something in this lineup to gain something else, man, especially when you have Fowler not hitting that well, when you have Pham struggling a little bit, especially when you have Carp struggling. You got to have the hottest guy out there. Somehow you're going to have to make it up. Somehow. And if it is sacrificing the defense, hey, man, please understand that, you know?
What would Benji – before we go, I got to ask you. Right now at this juncture, it's early in the season. I mean, I'm not ready to freak out for sure, but what would Benji Molina do tonight with the lineup?
I would tell you very straight up, I will take you know what? Carp haven't been hitting first, right? He hasn't.
Yep.
He doesn't even want to have one game, I think, first. You know what? I would try Carp as first batter. I'm thinking up and down on Pham, put him in down in the lineup. But anyways, I'll put Pham there. I'll leave him there for tonight. I'll go with third batter, Martinez. Fourth batter, Ozuna. Or the opposite. Ozuna third, Martinez fourth, Yadi fifth. And then you go from there, you know? Fowler sixth. And then you go from there. I would try something different. I'm not saying that it's going to work. You wish and you hope that it works, but I'm not saying it will. But I'll try something different. And then another day, I'll put Pham in six. And I'll put Carp six. You know, take that load off from them a little bit. You know, take that load off. And let those guys that are kind of hot do the job for you. That's what I would do, man. I'll even put Wong. I don't care. I'll put Wong leading off. And then I'll go from my second batter to the fifth batter, from my second batter to the sixth batter. That's what I would do. I would start doing something, you know. Why not? I mean, you don't have nothing to lose. Just do it, man. They're not hitting well right now because it's early. That's fine. But just try something. You have to do something, man. You have to change lineups once in a while. You have to try something. That's how the managers do. That's what their job is, to see how my players are doing and all that.
Yeah, I think you're at a juncture where, you know, you could do something either way. I mean, I'd like to look at it and say, okay, I think I want to try something different. You know, sometimes are you just trying something different for the sake of trying something different? Maybe, but is that awful? Is that bad to try something different sometimes just to do it? I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe.
You never know. You might find a new lineup. They might start hitting for 5 days in a row, and you're like, holy crap, let's keep these guys rolling, you know, let's go. Because you move your pieces, man. That's what it's all about. When there's not strong, I bet you anything, when Terry Francona or any other manager, I said Terry, I don't know why, but when any other manager have their struggles in their lineup, they move their pieces. They don't stay quiet. They move right away. They're okay, I got to move this guy out of there. I got to get him here. And you're not insulting the player. You're looking out for them. You're saying, Carp, get out of the third hole. And you know what? Let's go play Ghost. Maybe you can find your stroke there. You know, you're just trying to help them too.
I'd like to see this thing hopefully play out a little bit better for everybody involved tonight. We need a win. I'd like to see I'd like to see some things change. But you know, I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know if it's too soon. But I would do something different. I don't think it could hurt. But I guess we'll see what happens. Like I said,
it won't hurt.
Yeah, I don't think it would either. But
it's already hurting, isn't it?
Well, I would think so. To me, it looks like it is. So
how
so
is it
going to
hurt?
No, I agree with you.
It's going to hurt anything.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. So,
and today's game is going to be the toughest game because they already saw Martinez. And Martinez pitching against them again, and I'm sure they're going to make their adjustments too, you know?
Well, I would assume.
It's all about see if Martinez is ready for that challenge and see if Martinez is ready for when they make adjustments to what he did last time, which he did really good. So, but now it's time to see if Martinez can adjust from that too, you know?
You know, I am looking at you know, the team and thinking to myself, so how do I, you know, how do we move forward and get better? It isn't that I don't think they aren't doing things. I mean, we know they are doing things. I just, you know, again, I know it's early in the year. I do want to say these games matter just like the rest of them. I'm not a blamer. I don't cast blame. I'm a little confused by things, and I see things, and I wonder. But I'll keep reserving my judgment, or you know, for at least a couple more weeks. Get a month into the season. I understand that it's cold. I get that. I know that sucks. But the other team's playing in it too. So I'm not. That's not really one of my biggest excuses, to be honest with you, that I'm on board with. But I get it. I know it stinks to play out there in that. So. I'll just give it a couple more weeks and then see if some things round into shape. I'll be curious to see, you know, how the bullpen looks. I'm going to say this. I don't give two shits about Mike Myers. I mean, he was never going to be up here anyway. He was only up here because a guy pulled his hamstring. I don't know why everybody was freaking out over him pitching or not pitching. I wasn't. I really don't care.
Well, he was your best pitcher in spring too. Don't forget that.
No, I know, so, but that's my point. That's my point about the whole thing, though, Benji. Does it really matter? Because he was your best. He was one of your best pitchers in spring, and he was a hamstring away from.
Well, I guess it doesn't matter to these guys, right? Because he didn't pitch.
Yeah,
I mean, he got opportunity. You put in Leone 4 out of 5 days, and you have Myers who pitched the first day, and then he pitched the last day that I was there on Sunday. And you're going to tell me that guy out of spring was zero runs, lights out. And you're going to tell me that didn't open your eyes to give him a chance when the game is down one, down two, up one, up two? Come on, man.
Well, how does that work then? Tell me how that works, because it's obvious. And I say they. This isn't just a Mike Matheny thing. This is your new pitching coach, okay? Because I promise you, if he pressed the issue and said, hey, listen, this guy's our best pitcher down there. Okay, so my question is it just a sheer numbers thing and they looked at him like he's the eighth guy, he's going to be the first guy out as soon as Holland comes back. We really don't care what he can do because he's going out regardless. Is that what it is? Because that has to be it. There is no other explanation.
They're making the move. They can do whatever they want. I don't care about that. You know, like sending him down or getting him out of here or whatever with somebody coming in. I don't care. I mean, that happens, right? What I'm saying is pitching. Bro, you threw a guy 4 out of 5 days, and you have a new guy that's fresh as heck because he only pitched one game in New York, the first one, and then you have him pitching, a week? And you have that new guy in the bullpen, and he's not even worth to you to come in and pitch one of those games. Come on, man. Come on. Let's be real here. Those are the things that you can go and say whatever you want about a manager or whatever you want about a pitching coach. I won't even be mad about that because those are the decisions they make, right? But, dude, that guy was lights out my spring training. Spring training, no runs. And that's hard to do, man. That's really hard to do in spring training. So he comes and do it, and then he goes through the season, and he pitched one game, and then the last day when the game is out of hand and whatever you want it, okay, here's the ball, buddy. No, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on there, but I didn't like that part. But anyways, that's their decision in the end. They're the one making the decision. They're the one doing the whole thing. So we just gotta cheer on, and that's my team, and that's cheer on, you know?
Okay, because like I said, that's my point, is I don't understand. The only other way that it doesn't work out for him is it's the business side, and they don't care because they're not going to have him after 2 weeks anyway. It's almost like,
I know, but it could help you.
Well, but I understand that. But then why not throw him then? There is no other excuse other than, or they don't like him, or they think it was smoke and mirrors. Your new pitching coach obviously didn't believe in him. And again, my point is this: it's not that's a pitching thing. I don't understand that, and I don't care.
I'm with you.
You know, and I don't care. I really don't care because, I'll believe it when that's fine. He had a nice spring training. I can go through the list and give you a million guys that had great spring trainings. Okay. And I understand it. I would have liked to have seen him pitch, but there's only one reason he didn't pitch.
He's in your lineup card. He made the team with when Wayne went down or whatever, I don't know who went down.
I think it was Gregerson.
And you should, if you have him on your lineup card, if you're thinking the way you are thinking right now, Jimbo, then don't have him in the lineup card. Put him down from the get-go. Bring somebody else in. But if he made the club with no runs, he pitched well, and you have him in the lineup card, dude, come on, man. You got to pitch him. You got to throw him.
Well,
I don't care who it is.
No, and that's what I'm saying.
Even Tuli losing velocity. I would throw Tuli out there, too.
So, see, that's kind of my point.
See what happened.
Do they not pitch the guy? Because if he does really well, then what do? They're going to lose a guy.
No, that's not why they do it. At all. That's not. It's just their decision. It's just the manager and pitching coach decision. It's not because if they do good, we got to. No, man, you want them to do good. Shoot, that's for the city of St. Louis you're playing for. You want them to do good. It got nothing to do with that. I think it's just the manager and the pitching coach decision to say, no, not this guy today. No, I don't want that guy. I want this guy today.
Right.
You know, things like that.
Yeah, because I'm just trying to figure it out because to me, I look at it and I go, okay, something doesn't add up here. But and that's the only thing I can come up with is that he was going down anyway. They really didn't care. They're more worried about the guys that are going to be here and what their contributions are. And
no,
otherwise it makes no sense to me. Why have an eighth guy? Why have your bench short? I mean, these are questions that I do have that, you know, again, I would ask because, you know, number one, what we don't have coming off the bench is any power. Zero. So that's an issue for me. So I'm curious where that's going to. I like the whole Munoz story. I like him. I know he hasn't played up to his potential. You know, there's another guy had a great spring training. You know, so it's not transitioning now.
But he's not playing. You said it
right. That's my point. So
you can't talk. You can't. We as a fan, we can't even bring his name up right now. Garcia, Munoz, none of those guys, we as a fan can never bring that name up right now because they haven't played. They don't put them in. They got a pinch hit. They got a ninth inning defense, whatever it was. That's it. But those names should never come out of our mouth right now and talk about because they haven't played.
Well, I want
the other guys that played, okay, then you can say something, but okay, haven't played. That's not fair. Come on.
So I'm looking at it, and I'm trying to figure out where we go from here with that. I'll be curious to see if there's any changes made. But in the end, you know, they just got to start playing better. Winning cures a lot of ills. I know that.
As a group. But what was our biggest concern coming in?
What's that?
Do you know it?
Oh.
What was our biggest concern coming in?
Well, I think we all had a little bit different.
No. What was our biggest concern, Jimbo? You know,
starting pitching. Bullpen, starting pitching, and bullpen.
Yeah, the pitching overall, right? I mean, that's pitching. So, and what's happening? What are we talking about lately?
The bullpen.
Or the whole year, what have we been talking about? I know the hitting a little bit, but what's the main thing that we've been talking about?
The bullpen.
Pitching. And the bullpen.
For next show, though, I will say this. I'm going to talk about this Thursday. We've talked about all this stuff, and I do find that one of their best pitchers is throwing in AAA. That's another one that's an issue for me. Talk about business. Well, talk about the business side.
It's Jimbo, it's part of the game. I don't want it either. Believe me, I'm with you. I think, obviously, he deserves a spot here, even if it's Wainwright or whoever. I don't care, but he deserves a spot. But it happens in every organization, man.
Oh, I know.
Those kids that are young, and there's a veteran out there, you know, and, you know, it happens everywhere. So don't feel like we're the only ones doing that. It's everywhere.
I know. Just kind of stinks. Well, hey, I want to thank you for being on today. And, of course, m4byyachty.com, as always, for bringing you, joining us here in the patio studio. Special thanks to them as well. Looking forward to our next live session there. You want to pay attention. Again, the only way to follow us and to make sure that you're up to date with what we're doing, especially with our live from patio segments, is to follow us on social media at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter, Two Birds on a Bat on Facebook, and of course, Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram. Follow us there. Invite your friends to follow us as well. Look for a new contest coming out. We're going to ask you to help us spread the show around a little bit, and we'll be giving away some stuff there as well. I want to remind everybody we couldn't do the show without our special guests or our special friends in the social media world. Our good friend Nate McHenry with RelishGirl.com operates the RelishGirl.com Facebook page, which has been instrumental in our growth. We are happy to be a member of the Relish Girl Report, which he does on Mondays. Again, it's a lot of fun, and for less than the price of a cup of coffee, you too can be a member of the Rally Squirrel Club. I believe the free offer is still going on till the end of the month, so take advantage and sign up now. Wonderful prizes, wonderful opportunity to be a part of the show as well. That's RallySquirrel.com. Special thanks, Chris Lawless, Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7, everything you do for the show. Thank you so much. Mick Light, Art City Media, Josh Potter, of course, and Aaron Mullins, guys that are really supporting the show. Thank you to you guys. Check them out. They do some writing. They do good work. We really do appreciate it as well. St. Louis Cardinals Fans Unite, everything STL Sports. Thank you so much for all you do. Some of our great Facebook groups, fans of Yadier Molina, you know, again, St. Louis Cardinals Nation. There's so many. I think we're going to do something this summer. I've reached out to some of them. I'd like to highlight one a week, some of the great Cardinal Facebook pages, and if they can come on, I'm really looking forward to it. As again, Cardinal Freak's a guy I've been on him for a long time about being on the show. They just do great work. Some of the great podcasts that are going on, you know, C70 does a great one, Meet Me at Mutual, Teams of Rival podcast, great stuff as well. I know we're supposed to have Jim Hayes on soon. He has a podcast that he does that's really good. Just a lot of great stuff going on within the Cardinal community, folks. Make sure you check it all out. There's room for more than one person on this stage, that's for sure. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody's entitled to it. Go out and listen and gather your own information and make your own opinion. Really enjoy it. Don't forget twobirdsandabat.com. Do your shopping at Amazon through us there. Like our Facebook group. Like our Twitter page. We appreciate it greatly. For my co-host Steve Flowers and, of course, Benji Molina, I'm your host, Jim Cromer. Let's go, Birds!
Go, Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.